seconds ticked by.
"Because I don't want to believe it," he said in a quiet, numb voice.
I exhaled slowly.
"Yeah."
Dead silence. "Drink some coffee," I told him. He did. "Scared?"
"Yeah."
"Good," I said. "That's smart."
"Well, then,"
he murmured,
I must be the smartest guy in the whole world."
"I know how you feel," I said. "You run into something you totally don't get, and it's scary as hell. But once you learn something about it, it gets easier to handle. Knowledge counters fear. It always has."
"What do I do?" Butters asked me.
"I'm taking you somewhere you'll be safe. Once I get you there, I'll figure out my next move. For now, ask me questions. I'll answer them." Butters took a slower sip of his coffee and nodded. His hands looked steadier.
"Who was that man?"
"He goes by Gravain, but I doubt that's his real name. He's a necromancer."
"What's a necromancer?"
I rolled a shoulder in a shrug. "Necromancy is the practice of using magic to muck around with dead things. Necromancers can animate and control corpses, manipulate ghosts, access the knowledge stored in dead brains." Butters blurted out,
"That's impossible."
Then he stopped himself and coughed.
"Oh, right. Sorry."
"They can also do a lot of really freaky things involving the soul," I said. "Even in the weird circles, it isn't the kind of thing you talk about casually. But I've heard stories that they can inhabit corpses with their consciousness, possess others. I've even heard that they can bring people back from the dead."
"Jesus,"
Butters swore.
"Kinda doubt he had anything to do with that one."
No, I meant...
"I know what you meant. It was a joke, Butters."
"Oh, right. Sorry."
He swigged more coffee and started looking around at the streets again.
"But bringing the dead to life? That doesn't sound so bad."
"You're assuming that what the necromancer brings them back to is better than death. From what I've heard, they don't generally do it for humanitarian reasons. But that might be a load of crap. Like I said, no one talks about it."
"Why not?"
Butters asked. "Because it's forbidden," I told him. "The practice of necromancy violates one of the laws of magic laid down by the White Council. Capital punishment is the only sentence, and no one wants to even come close to being suspected by the Council."
"Why? Who are they?"
"They're me," I said, sort of. "The White Council is a, well, most people would call it a governing body for wizards all over the world, but it's really more like a Masonic lodge, or maybe a frat."
"I've never heard of a fraternity handing out a death sentence."
"Yeah, well, the Council only has 7 laws, but if you break them..." I drew my thumb across my neck. "By the way, they aren't fond of regular folks knowing about them, so don't talk about them to anyone else." Butters swallowed and touched the fingers of one hand to his throat.
"Oh, so this guy, Gravain, he was like you?"
"He's not like me," I said, and it came out in a snarl that surprised even me. Butters twitched violently. I sighed and made an effort to lower my voice again. "But he's probably a wizard, yeah."
"Who is he? What does he want?"
I blew out a breath. "He's most likely a student of this badass black magic messiah named Kemler. The Council burned Kemler down a while back, but several of his disciples may have escaped. I think Gravain is looking for a book his teacher hid before he died."
"A magic book?"
I snorted. "Nah, trinkets aren't too hard to come by. If my guess is correct, this book contains more of the knowledge and theory Kemler used in his most powerful magics." Butters nodded.
"So, if Gravain gets hold of the book and learns, he gets to be the next Kemler?"
"Yeah, and he mentioned that there were others involved in this business, too. I think word of the presence of Kemler's book came up, and his surviving students are showing up to grab it before their fellow necromancers do. For that matter, just about anyone involved in black magic might want to get their hands on it."
"So why doesn't the Council just grab them and..."
He drew his thumb across his throat. "They've tried," I said. "They thought the disciples had all been accounted for." Butters frowned, then he said,
I guess wizards can go into denial about uncomfortable things too, huh?
I barked out a laugh. People are people, man.
But now you can tell this council about Gravain in this book, right?
My stomach quivered a little. No.
Why not?
Because if I did, Mavra would destroy my friend. The thought screamed across my brain in a blaze of frustration that I tried to keep concealed. Long story. The short version is that I'm not real popular with the council, and they're pretty busy right now.
With what? He asked.
A war. He scrunched up his nose and tilted his head, studying me.
That's not the only reason you aren't calling them, is it?
Butters said. Egad, Holmes, I told him. No, it isn't. Don't push.
Sorry.
He finished the coffee, then made a visible effort to cast around for a new conversational thread.
So, those were actual zombies?
Never seen one before, I said, but that seems like a pretty good guess.
Poor Phil, Butters said. Not a saint or anything, but not a bad guy.
You have a family? I asked.
No, Butters said. Single. That's a mercy.
He was silent for a second, then said,
No, I guess it isn't.
Yeah.